Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with Lance Brown. He is the creator of the Influence Formula and the Influence Spectrum Quiz, which we will talk about. His background is quite vast, can't get through everything, but from fundraising to sales trainer, professor, and a published author, he's done a lot of things. He also has six kids, so obviously he gets no bathroom time at all. And for fun, I just love this one. For fun, he competes with the Mr. Clean lookalike competition. And my audience, because it's a podcast, you're not seeing this. But it is funny. I kind of vote him up there in that number there. But it's I just love that stuff. So thank you very much for being on the show today.
Oh, it's an honor, Philip. Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, I you and I looks like we go to the same barber. So yeah,
yes, we do.
No, but we have that in common. So
well, my wife, I told her, I said, I just want to shave because I don't care, and I'm like, I just want to shave this off. She's whatever. I'm like, it doesn't matter to me. When I started losing my hair in, my 40s, kind of noticed more and more, and I went to go check out hair replacement. Somebody, you should check this out. It's everything. It's permanent. Guess what? It's not permanent. It falls out, because if it was permanent, you and I and everybody else in the world be around the block. But it isn't permanent because those hairs die again and blah, blah, blah. And it started at the time, this is going back a long time ago, it started at like $5,000 a year. I'm like, no, I think my pension and my retirement fund will go in there. Not my hair, thank you.
Yeah, we're not that vain. So
no, I don't care. As long as I got my health and my family, that's all I really care about. So the first question I want to ask you, Lance, what was the serendipity? Because you just didn't wake up in the morning and just suddenly do this whole thing in your life. The serendipity, the accident, the coincidence that went down this road. Where you kept going, I'm going to go down there, but it kept pushing you. All right, fine, I'll go down this road. And this is, I'm sure there's a lot of things, but what kind of sticks out in your mind where you came to where you're at today?
So Philip, a lot of what I have learned has come from the School of Hard Knocks, and I mean that quite literally, as a door-to-door salesman for a 12-year period. Mm-hmm. I figure I've knocked on nearly 100,000 doors. I've got the calluses to prove it. Niels Bohr said that an expert is just somebody that's failed multiple times in a particular area or field. And if you've never tried door-to-door sales before, it's like emotional whack-a-mole. And so, a lot of what I learned didn't come from the safety of my college classrooms. It came while I was paying for those degrees. So I got a bachelor's degree in marketing, a master's degree in executive leadership. But while I was paying for those degrees, I like to say I earned a PhD in people. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty unique experience. These weren't just people. These are people with unique, you know, experiences and backgrounds and stories to tell. And I was in their sacred spaces. And anyway, I really developed an expertise around this. And as that grew, naturally, I got into training positions. And I just was fascinated by the fact that I recruited, trained, and managed nearly 600 salespeople. They all had the same exact product they were selling. They all had the same sales script, same training, a lot of them same manager, same area, and yet the results varied significantly. And so I became a student of influence early. And since that time, I've moved into a more academic setting. I currently work at a university where I'm the director of fundraising, so I talk people out of millions of dollars and pursue just incredibly, noble and awesome causes. And I also am a part-time instructor in the business school. And so as I've just tried to kind of capture everything that I've learned and put it into just an easy-to-understand format, it's where I've come up with this idea of the influence formula. And that's what I've been sharing on stages across the country and, you know, podcast, awesome platforms like yours for the last 2 or 3 years. There were a couple just unique moments that kind of led to this, which is the root of your question. You know, when I was in that sales training capacity, we used to do this big sales training And we would bring a guy in to come and just do a keynote to get everybody all hyped up and motivated. And he would walk out the door with like a $5,000 check. And I was left with implementation. And I was like, that's the gig I want, you know?
Right.
So it's something I always wanted to do. I've always spoken in front of audiences, you know, in my church, my community, you know, leadership throughout school. And then, of course, the sales experience. But what ultimately nudged me to is kind of interesting, Philip. So I, like a lot of sports-obsessed young boys, had a dream of one day being a professional athlete. So basketball was my sport. I wanted to play in the NBA. And in fact, I had in my room a checklist of, you know, make the freshman team, make JV, make varsity, get a college scholarship, NBA all the way up. And ultimately, I just got as high as the high school level. I just wasn't that good. But I remember the moment where that realization kind of hit me. I was watching a game on TV. You know, I grew up in Utah. I'm a lifelong Utah Jazz fan. And it hit me that I was watching on TV were younger than me. So no longer can I use the excuse of, oh, they just were more physically mature. I just realized it was never in the cards for me to be a professional athlete. These guys were just stronger, bigger, faster. And as I was kind of contemplating what my unique kind of inborn skills, you know, talents, where those lied, I was watching a post-game interview with one of these NBA super freaks. And I can't remember who exactly it was, but they just had an incredibly impressive game. 42 points, 9 rebounds, bunch of steals. And then the post-game interview, Philip, he couldn't put a sentence together. I mean, he was phenomenal on the court.
Right.
But couldn't articulate for the love, you know? And I got thinking, man, I've been on stages my entire life.
Yeah.
This is something I was bred to do, born to do, and it finally pushed me over the edge to go after that kind of seed that was planted at that sales training years ago, and it's been so exciting to watch take off, and it's taken off way fast. I've been involved in other businesses, things in my life, but that's when you know you're really in your lane. When, man, it's just pure passion. It doesn't feel like work at all, And the results are happening faster than I could ever imagine. And it's because I finally found it. After 41 years, Philip, I found what I was destined to do. And I love it. I'm so excited to see the potential of where it can go, because now I'm just totally in my lane.
Well, I think when you, and very well said, and very well answered to the question of what happened in your life, because you followed it, you realized, yeah, you know what? I really love this, but, you know, it ain't happening. And you followed down a particular road. You had to have some faith. You have to have faith. It's got to start with faith. And you have to have persistence. One of the things I liked is that the people that were there were probably making millions of dollars, super talented. But what I found, at least what I believe, is you don't have to be super intelligent to be rich. You don't have to. No. What, a great education doesn't mean you're going to be automatically wealthy. Whether it's spiritually or money or both, I believe in both because I believe they're one and the same. And I'm sure you probably feel the same way also. But it has nothing to do with that. And people think that, oh, you got to go to Harvard, or you got to go to this, or you got to do that, or you got to have rich that. Or I mean, it could help. But if it's not there, it's not going to happen. And I thought that was interesting when you got a PhD in people, because that was a paid experience, a paid teaching moment. I mean, you did it for a long time. But everything you kept learning, you wouldn't be who you are today without those experiences. With that right. Painful thing of knocking on those doors with those calluses and figuring it out and talking about being uncomfortable, talking about, it's like being a parent. You can buy all the books in you want, but it doesn't prepare you at all for the being a parent.
Yeah.
There is nothing. But you just figure it out along the way. But you also have to have faith. Like I said, you have to have belief. You have to have people behind you. You have to have, whether your wife, your kids, your family, your parents, your uncles, your aunts, friends, it doesn't matter. I call it the mind mentor group. And you could have one. I'd rather have one good person in my life than 100 bringing me down. It's really important to be connected to the right people. And it's interesting you also mentioned this, because there's a lot of things going on in my life, not just the podcast, But the philosophy that I mentioned before the record button that I'm teaching now, the musical's starting to take off a little bit with people interested in what I've written, a musical pertaining, it's called Agenoi Musical Philosophy. It takes time. But one thing I want to ask you, or I really want your point of view on this. You know, sure. When you're talking like this and I'm talking like this and all this, people, oh my God, it's instant success. And oh, it means it's starting to take off. Suddenly millions of dollars or whatever you're looking for rolls in. That's not true. So kind of talk through to the audience of what you're referring to in from what you're seeing for yourself, how that it's starting to expand type comment so people can relate to that.
Sure. So speaking, you know, in regards to the speaking stuff, I think a lot of people, they see somebody up on a stage, they give a 45-minute keynote presentation or whatever, and then when they find out the fees that they're getting paid, and they're like, wait a minute, they got how much for that, you know, for 45 minutes? And that looked easy. All I did was get up there with a microphone and talk. I've got a fellow speaker that he's a Green Beret, and he was in an Apache helicopter that got shot down on the secret mission. And
wow.
He tells this story. There, he's got pictures of him getting, you know, medals from the President of the United States. And anyway, he goes, Lance, I almost lost my life for my story. He goes, yeah, it's just 45 minutes on stage, but the insight I share would have never happened had I not, you know, my entire life led up to that moment. And so like I was telling my wife, I said, you know, I just got a call this week, Philip. I'm being booked for the largest stage I've ever had. It's going to be 3,000 to 5,000 people.
Wow.
Giddy. And I was like, honey, this is happening too fast. And she said, Lance, you've been working on this forever. She said, you have worked really, and it didn't feel like work to me because it was just my life. It was just kind of the natural progress of my life and my experiences. And I'm trying to dig my way through life and discover my talents and what I'm born to do and these kind of things. But she said, you've been training for this your whole life. And so you talk about good people. I've got one of those good people.
I understand that.
Corner. But, you know, the things other people don't see, you know, I write and I rewrite, you know, my talks. I rehearse like crazy. I've got strange habits where I'll go and walk this block in my neighborhood, and they probably think I'm just like a lunatic, you know, like a random homeless dude because I'm just talking to myself. What I'm doing is working out my material. But I
want to interrupt for just a second. I want you to continue. How many times have you talked in front of 3,000 to 5,000 people in your basement, in your room, in your studio, in your office, walking down a million times, right?
Yeah, you're right. So in a way, it's felt fast, but as my wife perfectly framed it, brought perspective to it. You know, I have worked really hard for this, and so it's finally just it's been fulfilling to see it finally spill over, you know, and reach a tipping point. And
it's exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Congratulations. I mean, you know, I haven't gotten to that point yet.
You will, man.
But I know I will. And it's just, it's baby steps. You know, when you're born, in the philosophy, I talk about discovery, awakening, transformation, and how discovery is, you know, you learn how to go to the bathroom, you learn how to crawl, you learn how to walk, you learn how to run. And then all these things discover it. And then you awaken something in your soul, and then you transform your life. And you go through DAT your whole life. And something that's really important to remember, and I know you'll agree, and you could expand on this, it's not getting to that point. It's the journey along the way. People keep thinking, oh, I'm going to get that piece of paper with an MBA. I'm going to get it because I have an engineering degree and MBA. But when I got the engineering degree, I'm like, is this what? This is it? And when I went to the MBA as an adult, I'm like, I had a different perspective. I didn't care about the paper. I realized the experience and it changed my life. So how do you see that with when people are doing something in their lives, they want to get, they striving, because I think that's kind of a low level energy. You're striving, you got to go. Because when you get there, you want a bigger thing. I'm talking about things that you know is fulfilling to yourself. So how do you kind of guide yourself in a way that doesn't get you off track? I mean, your wife and people that are in your life, that's super duper important, as we talked about earlier. But how do you make sure you're focused on that moment in time and to learn from that? Because mistakes are the only ways we learn.
Yeah. As you were talking, I thought, have you ever heard somebody, Philip, share their or recount their experience climbing Mount Everest? Have you ever? There was this lady named Allison Levine. She led the first all-female group of Americans to summit Mount Everest. And the first time she tried, I mean, they're gambling with their life up there. And they have to have sponsors because they can't hold down a job. The training's so intense and they're up there for months. And anyway, she got as close as to visually being able to see the summit her first time up there. And because the storm was blowing in, they had to turn around. And you're like, wait, you could see it? Like, why don't you just run up there real fast and touch it? When you're above 18,000 feet, your body atrophies. You're actually literally killing your body. And you take a step and then you breathe for like 15 seconds. And you take another step and you breathe for 10 seconds. So it's not just like running to one end of the football field and back to get to the summit. They would have died. So they made the very difficult decision after years and years of training, turn around, go back. She thought that was the closest she'd ever get to summiting Everest. But inspired by a good friend who had passed away, who said he was always encouraging her to do it again. She died of cancer. She wanted to go and honor her. And so she put together another expedition and she did it. She climbed Everest. And I will never forget what she said. She got to the very peak, the highest point on the entire planet Earth, something very few people had done. And she said, so the first thought that came to her mind was, so what?
I was like,
so what? Are you kidding me right now? And then she said something I'll never forget. She said, achievement in and of itself is of very little value. But the things learned along the way are of great worth. And I'll never forget it. Wow. And I always wondered, like, yeah, people that win the Super Bowl or win a gold medal, like, what do they do the next day? Like, they wake up and pour some Cheerios and then what? You know?
In the bathroom, they're all like us. Yeah, nothing changes, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, in as far as just the trick to, we always have to have goals that drive us and push us. But I think it's important to step away from time to time to express gratitude, however you do that, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through a loved one, whether it's just getting out in nature or whatever. Journaling is a fantastic way to really be in the present. I love that. And just realizing, you know, the miracle that's already in front of you, the fact that you even have your help to try to go and climb a mountain. Or the fact that you have ideas or live in a world of opportunity, you know, in a free country to be able to pursue, you know, that's the miracle, not the achievement. And so I've been trying to enjoy this journey. And I even told a fellow speaker the other day that, you know, I don't want to get to that place where these $3,000 gigs are just routine. Or I mean, these 3,000 people gigs are just routine. And it's just like I go and clock in and clock out because
that's not what you're doing this for.
No. Yeah, I'm just enjoying watching the growth and the doors that open. And I'm trying to cherish and value that in the moment as much as I humanly can. Sometimes it's not second nature to do that, especially for high achievers. But we need to because the value is in the journey.
I it's very well said. I do a gratitude journal every day.
Wow.
And for me, I just do 3-4 things. And I just let my mind wander. So in the philosophy, I call it the universal mind, spirits, and angels, which then create the serendipities, accidents, and coincidences. And so I just let my mind wander. And suddenly it's like, oh, I'm grateful for my bed. I'm grateful for my pillow. I'm grateful. And this is after I get up. Because in the morning, I just put my hand on my pulse. I go, I don't know what it's going to feel like with my eyes closed when God takes me. But I'm assuming this could be it, or maybe I think I'm alive. So my eyes go, oh, there's the fan. So I thank God for the fan, the light. I thank God for the floor. I brush my teeth. I go through this all the time. I bless the plants. I talk to the plants. I look out the window. And I do this all day long. And gratefulness is something that is it's very underrated. You know, thankful for your health. And, you know, we assume that, oh, I'm healthy. And we live in a free country. And we live in a place where there's a lot of people still don't have enough to eat, which I know to you and me is 2023. There shouldn't be one starving person on the planet, but we can't control that. We can help if we want. You want to volunteer. You want to give something to somebody. You want to go overseas. A friend of mine's going to Uganda. You want to help out. That's not a problem. But normally people can't do that. So you pray, you meditate, you do what you can to give, because the more you give, you get 100% back in return. And that journey is just, it's a lesson learned, because, and I don't know what's going to happen when you do that gig, but three to 5,000, you said, right? This is totally cool. You're going to get there. And then afterwards, you're going to think about what we talked about, or you're going to think about other, it's like, after the Super Bowl, what do you do? I mean, this is like the Super Bowl for you. This really is the Super Bowl. And you're going to get done, and that energy is going to be there. And however you experience it, but then you're going to go like the next day, or before you go to sleep, you're going to feel great. You're going to wake up in the morning going, I'm hungry. I think I need a bowl of Cheerios.
Honey nut Cheerios. Yes,
exactly.
Gotta help.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I love the way you're talking, and that's why I wanted your point of view. Let's define the word influence. What does that mean?
You know, as a career sales guy, I think there's a massive difference between persuasion and influence. Persuasion to me feels a little more transactional. There's nothing wrong with that. So it makes the world go round. But I see elements sometimes of, what do I get out of it? You know, sometimes people that are wanting to shortcut can fall into patterns of manipulation, intimidation, coercion. I see lasting influence as people that make a choice to follow. You know, they see something within you that they admire, that they connect with, that they relate to. And so, influence is a little bit more organic, but it's more lasting. It's not transactional. It's something that, you know, you think of people in your life that you would go to war for, that if they're recommending it, you're in. And I've analyzed, why is that? What is it about these people? And that's kind of where my research has led me.
It's interesting. I mean, it's, you know, one of the words I don't use loosely is the word trust.
Yeah.
Because you don't know people. And not to say that people are bad. I think maybe it's naivete, but I still believe most of the people on the planet, people are good. There's not hating. They're not doing this stuff. And this has gone on forever, right? Since the beginning, over 2,000 years, man's inhumanity, man has never been good. But I still believe the average person wants to love, wants to do good, and wants to do the best they possibly can. And it's interesting how you separated those two terms, because yeah, you can do a transactional thing, which is on automatic, which is not bad. I mean, sometimes, you know, you can buy a car or whatever, but if you get lost in that little confusion of, I got to get to here. I was talking to a friend of mine a few weeks ago. I said, yeah, you know, you're going to get to here, because if you're striving, that's why I say it's low level, because striving is kind of like, well, I'm going to get to that 100,000, but then I'm going to make a million. But then I'm going to get tired of my wife. I'm going to get a new wife. Then I'm tired of that car. I'm going to get a new car. I'm tired of that house. That's to me, I mean, I'm not knocking it. If that's what you want, go for it. But to me, it's empty. I want something. It's not about money. I've always made a nice living. Yeah. And will these things happen? Yeah. It is everything. Because as far as I know, unless you found a way, I don't think you can get out of this. You can't bring this with you. Nothing. It's it. And we don't live that long. Even if you live to 80s or 90s, it's still not long. And to me, it's about how you can pass it on to your, not just your kids, but to friends. How many times you're going to be talking? I've been talking for a while, but now you got this giant audience. There's probably somebody that will connect one word and you'll never know.
Yeah.
Change their life. Like, you know, I went to see this guy. I don't remember his name, but it was 10 years ago, but he looked like Mr. Clean.
Yeah. Like Mr.
And he said X, and it just, boom, snapped that person into a different trajectory, going, you know what? If he can do it, I can do it, whatever that is. And I just love that, and how you separated it to, what is the connection gap? You mentioned it in something that I was reading about. What is a connection gap?
Yeah, so to have lasting influence with others, people need to see within you a combination of both credibility and relatability. You use the word trust. I kind of tie that to credibility. People that are proven commodities, right? So like, you know, I trust, you know, my college roommate with a lot of things, but if I were to undergo surgery, I would not trust him with a scalpel, right?
A good move.
Yeah. So, and I want somebody that's more credible in the field of medicine and surgery. And so that's that. Credibility is your competency, your skills, your experience, your expertise, that kind of thing. And then relatability is, you know, we can talk about it, but those are your ability to be empathetic, your ability to bring warmth, likability, the people we're just kind of drawn to from a personality standpoint. So if you're struggling to influence those around you, you're experiencing one of two things. You're either experiencing what I call an admiration gap or a connection gap. And an admiration gap occurs when those you're trying to influence don't see you as credible. A connection gap occurs when those you're trying to influence don't see you as relatable. So just a quick story to help illustrate an
Please.
Example of the connection gap.
Right.
So I had a sales manager who was my top performer 5 years in a row, and not just by a little bit, like he crushed the competition, making 2, 3, 4, 5 times as much money as his peers. And I'll never forget being in a manager training with him. I always look forward to these because I just love learning from the best. But it was him and about 50 of my other sales all-stars. We were talking about some sales strategies when he stood up to share everything he knew on the topic. And as I looked around at my other sales all-stars, expecting him to just be soaking it up, I was shocked. They were doing precisely the opposite. They were tuning him out. And I was sitting there thinking, why aren't you listening to this guy? He's making 5 times as much money as you.
Right.
So I sat there perplexed. It kind of struck me. They weren't tuning him out, Philip, because he was boring. Heck, this guy could charm a TSA agent. And it wasn't because he was arrogant or off-putting. He was very liked within the company. And it wasn't even because they were jealous. It was a very bright and mature group. The reason they were tuning him out was because they couldn't relate to him.
Mm.
Things he was teaching, they couldn't replicate. He was too good. If I were to put into words kind of the sentiment that I was witnessing that day, it would have been something to the effect of, yeah, that works for you, but that's you. You're Superman. What does that have to do with us? And so I learned an important truth at that moment that all the credibility in the world is useless if those you're trying to influence can't relate to you. And so that's a definition of the connection gap. And I see them everywhere. Parents trying to resonate with teenagers. I mean, some people can have all the influence in the world in one setting, like maybe a boss at work, only to find they have very little in another context, like with a teenager or with a kid, right? Mm-hmm. So you see generational gaps, you'll see political gaps. My wife and I got married 16 years ago because we have so much in common, but there's one thing we don't have in common, and that's the foods that we eat. So kind of a funny story. Just happened the other day. I came back from Jamba Juice, and I was like, honey, have you ever tried the peanut butter mood smoothie at Jamba Juice? Cody recommended it. It's amazing. And she slugged me in the arm. She's like, you never listen to me. She said, I have recommended the peanut butter mood smoothie to you dozens of times.
Cody recommends it, and you try it.
And I'm like sitting there thinking, no, I think I would remember that. She goes, I think I recommended it to you last week. I was like, no, I don't think you did. So when it comes to most things, I try to listen to my wife. But when it comes to food, like I click out, I check out. I'm like, yeah. She's eating spinach and kale, and you know, I'm hitting Five Guys burgers and fries for breakfast. And so we're just on different space. So there's a connection gap there. But anyway, that's an idea, an example of what that connection gap is. Just when people don't relate. And I would say to your listeners, if you find that you enjoy great camaraderie, if you find that you have great ideas, maybe even transformational ideas for your organizations, for the things that you're involved in, but find that you have a hard time getting people to follow your lead or buy in, you're probably struggling with a connection gap.
That's very well put. I love this story. I've told you that 10 times. It's not good. It's just the way it is. I think that's funny. When I was starting the philosophy of Ajinoy, it took me about 8-9 months. And I had a best friend of mine just was tortured with this because I don't understand what you're saying. It's too philosophical. What is that informational, transformational? What are these five steps? I don't understand what it is too. I could, and it's like one of the things he did say, and I've known him for a long time, said, you need to tell stories. He just said, when I go to temple, I have no problem listening to the Old Testament and whatever we're believing. For me, it's the Old Testament and everything is because I'm Jewish. But I don't like the thous and the thises and the thises and the thys. I can't understand a clue. Now, things have changed since I was a kid, and you do have it more into regular interpretive, you know, English that people can understand and relate to, but it's still a little out there, you know. So the rabbi will give a sermon and go, this is what we're talking about, and then give an example, how the story relates. Not from her, maybe sometimes from her, but something you can relate to. And that's the biggest thing I've learned. You know, one of the things I talk about in the philosophy is being comfortable, being uncomfortable in something you're familiar with. Bad job, bad relationship. Everybody's experienced that at some point in their life. And people can, I see people going, ah, I understand that. And I start talking about the philosophy and the two minds and blah, 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 and all this other stuff. So it is true. If you're finding his suggestion is right on, listen to what he's saying. I'm talking to the audience now here, Lance. Listen to what he's talking about. If you're not connecting, it's not the people aren't connecting. Look at it in yourself. What are you miscommunicating? What is that connection gap? And I'm glad you described that. What's that connection gap? It could be just the storyline. It could be, I've noticed for myself, if I am telling somebody something, whether it's the philosophy, the musical, whatever I'm talking about, doesn't matter. And I can't see that image in my mind clearly. And I'm trying to tell Lance that he's going to come back and go, I don't know what you just said. Because you've got to have that image in your mind. You've got to have that clear idea in your mind. It's got to be very, very, and it takes a lot of practice. You're talking about practicing. You love that one. Who's that guy keep talking to himself? I have no idea, but he sure looks like Mr. Clean. You've got to have that clear imagination. That's something that God gave us all, that imagination. Use that, even though we were told to turn it off when we were children. Tell me about the influence formula, and then I want you to talk about the quiz. But first, the influence formula.
Before I go into that, do you mind if I just mention that? I think that's really interesting. Your friend said, hey, Phil, you need to simplify this through story. There's this phrase that the kids are using these days, geeking out.
What is it?
Geeking out.
Oh, I haven't heard this one. Okay.
I'm like totally geeking out right now. That if I were to define that, it would be to get overly enthusiastic or excited about something that nobody else really cares about. Sometimes we get drowned in our own expertise. I find this in higher education.
Ooh.
Here you've got PhDs, you know, professors that are just experts. You know, they did their,
thesis.
Doctoral dissertation or thesis. Yeah.
Right, right.
Very narrow field.
Right.
Yeah, teaching 18-year-olds, right?
They have no clue.
They have no clue, right? And so simplification is a beautiful thing. I found that simplifying things for others takes creativity, it takes thoughtfulness, it takes patience. Ultimately, it's an act of care or concern. I think acquiring knowledge is pretty self-serving, but sharing knowledge in a way that can be comprehended or understood is a gift.
Yes.
So I appreciate your friend sharing that example. And we do this. We get drowned in our own expertise. And simplifying is a great way to relate. And storytelling is a fantastic.
Well, I got to share something before you tell me about the influence formula and the quiz. One of the things he told me, he goes, he listened to my musical. He knows I play all this. And in order of a competency, it's piano, guitar, bass, and drums. It's like, so wait a minute. You're going to be talking live, but you're not playing or singing. You got a gift from God, but you're not including this in it. Like, I don't know. I'm supposed to do that. He goes, I don't know. You have the philosophy. You figure it out, you know, and pray and meditate. So that's what I'm doing. I've been since March, I've been doing this live and I bring my guitar. Last night I had one of my monthly seminars that I do over there and I brought my guitar and I wrote a song and it just moves people. I bring lighting, I bring sounds, I bring different types of toys. You know, it's good to have things, props, right? And things, when I used to talk about x-ray tubes, it was the most boring thing on the face of the planet, even with other engineers. You got to bring things to keep them alive and you got to tell stories. You know, you got a picture, tell a story. But it's just interesting how that's so true. Figure out what your competency is. And then when people tell you something, that's that serendipity, coincidence, and accident. Those are those universal mind, spirits, and angels. Listen to them. Don't get offended. Don't let that ego get in the way. If Lance says, hey, you know what, Phil? I love what you just said, but that story you told at the show last night or at the presentation last night, cool story, made no sense. This is my wife. She's my straighten out person.
She's some good feedback, huh?
Yes. She goes, Phil, that was great, but don't do that. And that's what you need. So tell me about your influence formula and your quiz. I really want the audience to hear about this.
So the influence formula is just expounded on that idea of the importance of credibility and relatability as it relates to influence. So I just, it like a simple multiplication formula for your audience, you know, to visualize, it would just be credibility multiplied by relatability equals your influence. So like any multiplication formula, the greater the inputs, the greater the outcome. So the more credibility you have multiplied by your ability to relate, right? Simplify, you know, connect to people that look, act, think differently than you, right? Your ability to relate to multiple kinds of people will determine, you know, your depth and your breadth of influence. And the great thing is it's not finite. So let's say you're really good at connecting with others. That comes really natural to you, but maybe you experience a bit of the admiration gap. They love you, but when it's time to talk business or the stakes are high, your words fall on deaf ears. There's a reason for that. You're experiencing an admiration gap. You need to increase your credibility. So that looks like either education, you know, more experience. A lot of times I have found, Philip, we have a disproportionate sense of who we are or how we're perceived, right? Our mom loves us. So we think everybody loves us, right?
Right.
But if you haven't gone through an interview process lately where you've had to fill out a resume, you've had to apply for a job, you probably aren't that clear on how you appear, you know. And so I advise people, this is not an easy thing to do, but I'll say, you know, go to somebody you trust, love, respect, a peer, a supervisor, and just ask for some honest feedback. Like, what are my blind spots? Like, what do I stink at? What am I missing? You know, we talked about our wives are really good at offering that, oftentimes unsolicited. but when you're asking and you're in a humble place, you know, it may be shocking to you. Oh, you know, people don't take you seriously on this because your sales performance maybe isn't up to par, or you know that you know you haven't done this before. And anyway, so you might think you need to increase in your credibility to improve your ultimate influence. Maybe people have degrees for days, like we talked about the PhDs, but they just have a harder time relating to people that look, act, think differently than them. And then they need to work on storytelling or maybe even humor. Humor is a fantastic tool.
Oh, yeah.
All humor really is at its core is just common observations, right? We laugh when we relate. We're like, yeah, that's so true, right? And so maybe it's just a matter of learning a joke or two, not getting another doctorate, right? and that can move the, you know, your influence up. And so if you look at the formula, you can kind of see where you're short, where you're strong, and where you need to improve. And that's what the Influence Spectrum Quiz does. So if you go to my website, lancewbrown.com, it's just free. It's an original personality assessment where you can find out if you're a rocket scientist or a comedian. Those are the symbols I use for extreme credibility or relatability. Some people will be like, hey, I got extreme comedian on your quiz, and I don't even think I'm that funny. I'm like, you're right, you're not. And no, it's not just about humor. It has more to do with observational intelligence, you know, people skills, how to read a room, you know, that kind of thing. But you know, are you warm? Are you likable? That kind of thing. So there's two different quizzes on my website. You can take a short quiz, which I find most people do because we all have short attention spans in 2023.
Yeah.
That would take you 3 minutes. If you want a more
comprehensive
depth, yeah, a bit better, you can take the long version. It's 30 questions and get a more accurate assessment. And you can find out where your propensity is, which characteristic you predominantly rely on for your influence. I found that depending on your background, your upbringing, the stage of life you're in, your values, you predominantly rely on one of these key characteristics or the other. But once you know, once you have that accurate look, then you can start to work on overcoming those gaps. And we can talk about how to do that if you want, or maybe save that for another day.
Yeah, I think another time, because that could be a whole show on that. I think that what's interesting you said about the attention span. I think human beings' attention spans have always been short, but now it's even shorter. You know, you get in a plane, and this has been going on for years. This is nothing new now. I mean, I've been out of the corporate world for several years now, but it was still going on then. And you get on the plane, and they're scrolling in their finger right next to you. And I'm like, because my favorite button on the phone is airplane mode. I'm not that important. Nobody needs to get off. Well, was in the medical field? That was different. X-ray tube was down, CT scanners, X-ray. That's all there. This life, fine. This stuff, nah, I'm not saying anybody's life. My wife's an actuary. It's like, nobody's going to page me to do a new calculation. It's not that important. But it's like the attention span is like this. I'm looking for the next best thing. And it's just occupying your mind and not wanting to hear things. See, one of the things, you know, with the quiz you're talking about, I take the longer one because I want to learn about myself, because you can't change me. You try to change me, wall just comes right up. And one of the things that's hard to do and that we have been trained to do, like you were talking about your mom, and there's nothing wrong with it. Lance, you're the best looking, best nice guy. You're the smartest guy in class. Well, yeah, to your mom and your loved ones, and people aren't going to tell you that, but I would rather, it's very uncomfortable for somebody to say, Lance, that was a great speech. If, even in front of the 3,000 or 5,000, even if you're when you're speaking in front of 50,000, I don't care. Somebody going, Lance, that was great, but that one story, and you go, really? See, now, but to me, it's not the amount of people. You could have one person, 100 people. You're going to do the same thing. Now, the more, you're probably, I'm just assuming this, like me, the more people I talk to, my goal is to have 20,000 people in front of me, and I'm going to donate every dollar. I'm going to have one person bring in a physical dollar. That's my concept. And go into a donated auditorium, donated food, donated, and every dime I donate to a local charity. And the whole thing is to be able to influence people. You're talking about influence, and you're talking about defining influence and connection gaps, you know, being able to have something to make a difference with people. But go into that uncomfortable zone. Drop the ego, and it's hard. But so to this day, when my wife last night, she goes, great, but I go, because I don't want to hear great. I've learned, I'm learning nothing at great. I want you, but I can hear my mind going, you did great. Don't listen to her. Your mommy said everything was great. You're the best. You know, it's still there, but you know that. But when I hear it, when you go past that little spot of uncomfortableness, drop that ego, that's a growth time. Suddenly you're like, it's not how it was designed. God designed the world to make mistakes. There's got to be another word. I'm still searching for a word. I hate mistakes. I hate the word because it has a bad connotation. It's like stress. You know, stress doesn't just fall out of the sky. You don't have a stressful job. You have stressful thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I'm just waiting for something that you don't make mistakes. Are if you don't make them, you don't learn. You don't go through those things. You don't go through those steps. Whatever the steps are in your life, you learn nothing. And you couldn't do what you're doing now. You couldn't be speaking in front of 3,000 to 5,000 people if you didn't go through those things. You had to go through those things. So I just love it that the idea with the quiz and the formula, because it's so important. People, I'm going to go on his website and take the form or the quiz. Take the long one. Nobody's that important. You can spare some time. Do it on the weekend. Do it instead of watching TV or something that's mindless that you normally do that on automatic. Go to his website, take a quiz, learn about yourself, read about him. He's got a cool video and just see what you can gain from. That's why I have this show, to make a difference, passing it forward. What people are listening to, how they can grab something out of it. And nobody's texting me telling me, great show. I know people are getting it because I've heard stuff that people are listening. And that's all I want. So I want, before we leave, and I want to thank you for being on the show. What you've given a lot of positive aphorisms, but think of one, doesn't have to be the, you know, the best in the world. Whatever comes to mind that you can leave the audience with as they're going, ah.
You know, I've come across this phrase recently that it's very common. We all use it, and I think we need to use it more. And it's, if I can do it, you can do it. Those 9 words are credibility and relatability all wrapped into one. I've heard we are most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were. I have a friend that owns a series of addiction recovery homes. And he says that 90% of the people he hires, his counselors, are former users, former addicts. There's some risk with that, but why does he do that? I mean, how effective would I be at helping somebody with their crack addiction when the strongest stimulant I've ever had is Diet Dr. Pepper? So if these users were to backslide and start using again, their credibility would go out the window,
right?
But overcome it, and they can say, "Hey, if I can do it, you can do it." There's credibility in that. There's relatability. There's warmth. There's understanding in that. And I think we talk a lot about empathy in society, and it's, you know, so much is read and or written about and said about it, and it kind of gets old. But I think there's two degrees of empathy. There's learned empathy, and we could all get better at that. We could pick up a book. We could challenge our thinking. But the other is experienced empathy, and that's that idea of if I can do it, you can do it. And so. I would challenge your listeners to think of those areas where they have maybe struggled, where it's been a challenge, so that they can relate to people in that space, but that they've overcome, that they have a higher, better way, and they can help them on that journey. And that's what ultimately inspired the influence formula for me. Is I felt like I wasn't Superman. Like sales, these things didn't come easy to me. It was emotional whack-a-mole. And so when I had new people out there, I could say, I get it, man. Like this is tough. I know where you are, man. I've been there. But on the other side, there's something great. There's something that'll change your life. There's that transformation. And anyway, I love that phrase. I love that idea. And that's what I hope your listeners can take away today from our discussion.
I said, no, that's very well said. I mean, you know, we kind of whittled out the different things of unreality, going, hey, I'm a success overnight. And talking about this stuff is just, if I can do it, you can do it. You need to have some patience, you need to have some faith, whatever that is for you, whatever friends or family or books or whatever influences you to stay positive, eliminate all the negative stuff. If you have to deal with negative things, limit your time. But there's so many things, so many gifts in life. Very well said, and I appreciate it. And Lance, I want to thank you again for being on the show today.
It's been an honor. Thank you so much. And just keep up the amazing work. You're doing cool things. I love your podcast. I love your platform. I love your philosophy. And anyway, it's just been a treat. So thanks again.
Thank you very much. And thank you for those kind words. And remember, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts and not the thoughts you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at ConsciousCommunicationPodcast.com.